All right, well, Kufar Akbar, everybody, welcome once again to another edition of the Cross and the Crescent Discussion Group. We are here on Blog Talk Radio and the Global Picture Radio Network every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and on Sundays also at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We also are live streaming over on Facebook, on the Dr. Eric Smith's Facebook page and the Cross and the Crescent Discussion Group Facebook page, and also, of course, everybody here that is in chat that participates on this show. Well, you guys know that we're here. Okay, so tonight we're going to be doing something that we haven't done for quite a while, and that is focus in on a book. And the reason why is because it's a timely book. We're going to do a book, not a book report. What is the word we're looking for? Book review? Is that an review? That's more of an accurate terminology. So we're going to do a book review. Now, just before we get going and we get all up in front of ourselves tonight and we have these dreams of staying here until 5 o'clock, I'm going to tell you right now we can't do it tonight. We got to be out of here at 6:30 firm. I have meetings that I got to make tonight that I just absolutely, positively have to be there. And so we can't go any longer than that. So what we got to do rather quickly. And what I've done, of course, is I put together a slideshow. I always put together slideshows. But what's going to be on tonight is going to be on the latest book published by the author, Kenny Bomer, the Imam Jaban al-Islam out of Houston, Texas. And the reason why we're doing that is because he just recently released his second edition of this book. Now, over here, I went through his first edition. It's been 2 years, I think. It's been a while since I've done that. And to be honest, it was just painful. It's just painful reading that type of stuff. And so what I thought was, I'll go in there and I'll just bring it up on Kindle and try reading through it again. And it just hurt to read through somebody who is so angry at the world, so angry at his country. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to take a couple excerpts out of that book. We're going to analyze some of the things that he wrote in there and maybe try to look for some of the motivations of why he would write some of these things. So of course I had to make a good gift here. I actually put some effort into this one. I thought, you know, we got that because the thing that kind of jumped off on this is when I was reading his initially looking at the book, the first page, he's already criticizing Trump. I mean, he is all on Trump right from the get-go. You don't even get off the first page. And this is what I'm gonna show you. So what I thought I would do is I thought I would just include a little Trump picture here with the dumpster fire that is his book. And if you want to really look at why his justification is for considering Islam, it's because the United States sucks, don't you know? His whole justification. If you want to get right down to it, his reason why somebody needs to consider Islam. Because the United States sucks. The United States is a racist, bigoted, hateful nation, always has been. It's exploited every single people group on the planet at one time or another, enriched itself at their expense, and we need to be taken down. And the way to do that is to, well, bring in Islam, and everything will be hunky-dory, according to the Imam. Unfortunately, it never works out that way, because if you replace one tyrant, you normally get, what? Yes, you normally get a second. So let's take a look at what we got going here. He claims that his book was the number one bestseller on the Amazon list for, well, I don't know. They got all kinds of lists. You got lists for, you know, left-handed lawnmowers or whatever. I don't know. But when I pulled it up, because his was always saying, well, in comparative religion books, you know, I'm number one. Okay, well, that's not what Amazon's saying. So this was at 2:30 yesterday. I took this screenshot, and I got to thinking, you know what? Because he said, well, we debuted at number one on the 28th, and I think, okay, well, if you were number one a week ago, and you're 941 now. Let's just see what one day. So I looked today, and look what happened today. He went from 941 today. He's dropped 500 points on that. And in the Kindle, he went down over, 150, 160 there. And religious studies, another 100 or so. So, you know, when you debut your book, debuting it, and you can get it at number, you know, way to go. Power to you. No, he said you didn't. That's why he's not sending you a book. Oh, you did. Okay. Oh, okay. He's trying to scam you out of a book, huh? Not a man of his word? Ah, way to go. Okay, well, Mickey, sure you send it to me, Red, because I just got it on the Kindle. I'm going to show those reviews here, Rad. All this started, we wouldn't have done this show, but you know, I glanced at his book, and when I glanced at his book, the first page, I noticed that he had, and I'll show you here in a second, but he was complaining about Donald Trump. Of course he complains. I mean, I would like to go in there and do a word search and find out how many times Trump's name comes up. I mean, when they talk about TDS, Trump derangement syndrome, that's your poster child there. That's somebody that he definitely needs some help. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not just the biggest fan of Donald Trump, but hold on just a second. How many pages are in this book? No. All right, we got 241 pages. And how many times did you say? Rad, how many times did you say it came up? Oh, my gosh. So that's like once every other page. He's got Trump. He's complaining about Trump. Oh, my gosh. Connie, you were saying something. I'm sorry. Right. Well, it's kind of a love-hate thing, and I don't want to make this about Trump, but what I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to illustrate that his hatred for Trump is just oozing out of his pores. That's what makes good media is to call it a Muslim ban. That's why they called it, but they knew it wasn't. Yeah, and Venezuela was banned too, wasn't it? Or Colombia, one of the two, yeah. Okay, so. Oh, really? I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. Yeah, well, if you look at the countries that they prohibited people from immigrating from, the reason why is that our State Department did not have relations with those countries or the country. I mean, like Libya, there's no government there. Somalia, there's no government there. So these countries, you're going to ban immigration from these countries. Or Syria, you cannot demonstrate who is who coming from those countries. So it is a security issue, and he was right to do it. But you're going to get the race baiting crowd saying, oh, well, you're just a racist. You hate people that are brown, or you hate people who are, you know, not liking. Shut up, you piece of crap. Or Soleimani. Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, I got to go. All right, you're right. All right, so okay, so we went over the email. We went over this email that I had sent him on Sunday saying that you're wrong. Roosevelt did not own slaves. Lincoln did not own slaves. And, of course, he comes back and he, you know, he starts with the insult and then tries to, you know, school me on what the Emancipation Proclamation. We did all this on Sunday. And the bottom line is that he did not know what he was talking about. And I basically took him to task. And then, of course, the last thing he's got to do is he's got to call me a bigot, because that when you lose an argument, that's what you have to do, is call somebody a name. And that's exactly what he did. You're a bigot. Okay, whatever, Kenny. All right, but right here is where he says Theodore Roosevelt, all of whom owned slaves, because he was complaining about Mount Rushmore. And up here saying that, what was it? It was Trump. What was it? Effects manipulation. I should have done a better job of underlining, but he was blaming Trump for celebrating the four people on Mount Rushmore. Now, if you look at who the people on Mount Rushmore were George Washington, who, by the way, did what with his slaves upon his death, Rad? But when we look at Washington, we look at what Washington did. The guy is given the nickname, the title of Father of Our Country. And here's the guy that led us through the Revolutionary War. Here's the guy that led the Constitutional Convention. Here's the guy at the conclusion of the Revolutionary War. They offered to make him a king. And he told them, you're crazy. We just fought a whole war to get rid of a king. And you want to make me one? Here is the guy that set every precedent that a president follows today. So this is a guy that is a very important figure to our country, but don't you know he's a racist, don't you see? So we can't celebrate George Washington. Next guy, Tom. Yeah, give me a second. Go ahead. Well, that one said something about emancipated. If you go back up, if anyone emancipates a slave, hold on. Yeah. Six slaves at a time. Uh-oh. Rad's got an idea. Everybody hold on. Death. There we go.
A man of the altar, a man of the altar, the prophet said, if he had been...
No, that's right. What I was just trying to, in all fairness, complaint is that we should not be celebrating people who owned slaves in our country's history before. But in doing that, what you're doing is you're throwing away our nation's history, history that you can learn by. We don't celebrate the fact that Washington owned slaves. We don't celebrate the fact that Jefferson owned slaves. We don't celebrate the fact that many of the founding fathers owned slaves. And if you're going to make that a standard, then one of the words that you like to talk about is called consistency, the consistency of the man to whatever the heck you say. Right. So your consistency really shows who you are. And it's called, it begins with an H and ends with hypocrite. That's exactly what you are for making this demand of the founding fathers of our country. Now, again, nobody's saying that slavery was right in this country, but the fact of the matter is that slavery was forced upon this country by the people who brought colonialism to this country. And like I said, right. And well, like I said, 7 of the 13 colonies banned slavery right after the Declaration of Independence was signed. And the reason why they did is because they had tried in their state assemblies previously to have slavery banned, but the king would not allow it because why? England was making huge snot gob oodle buckets of money off of the colonies and the slavery that was going on over here. So save your little slave. Oh, yeah. There was a video. Who made a video the other day saying that they said that the Muslim said that he would want to own slaves? I don't know if it was Bob the Builder or he was talking to somebody. Yeah, it was Bob the Builder. And they got the Muslim to say, yeah, I would like to own slaves. Really, it's 2021 and you make statements like that. Well, the reason why he's making statements like that is because he's trying to follow the sunnah of that pervert or that man that he calls a prophet. Okay. Yes. Well, thank you. All right. So the next one, of course, is Let me just get down with George Washington. It's Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson, of course, yes, was a slave owner. Thomas Jefferson, yes, if you want to sit there and say, yeah, Tommy Jeff, he had sex with his slaves, you can make it. Well, hold on. Okay. I was going to qualify. Guys, I was going to qualify that. I was going to qualify. Gosh, you guys are vicious. You know, I love that. I like it when, you make a statement and, you notice the difference here. Everybody wants to jump on you. If you're going to say something like that, just might not be entirely true. And then, because if you did this over in the Imam show, you know what he would be doing? Backstage. You cannot, he cannot stand any criticism. But yes, Paul, you're absolutely right. When we start talking about Jefferson fathering a slave, there is still a lot of details that aren't there. They thought it was maybe his, like I said, maybe it was his brother, maybe it was his sons. We don't know for sure. But what we do know, well, okay, the bottom line is that Jefferson owned slaves. So do we as a country automatically stop celebrating Jefferson? You know, the guy that brought us the Declaration of Independence, the guy that provided that language, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are endowed by their creators with certain unalienable rights. Yeah, right, that ends, you're exactly right, and it's, but when we start looking, at the era and how these men perceived other human beings and how other human beings were perceived, today we criticize it, and there's a lot of things that we could probably say that today is absolutely wrong. You know, for example, abortion. Abortion is widely accepted, not only in this country, but in a lot of countries. Well, does that make it? Make us, or let me rephrase that. Does that make people who support abortion? I mean, let's just go ahead and just travel in time 100 years forward from now. Are they going to say that all of those presidents, because they're eventually going to ban this practice? They have to. It's just so evil. But then again, But the bottom line is, let's say that they do finally ban it and they say, okay, yes, it's intrinsically evil to kill another human being in the womb. They're the epitome of innocence, yada, yada, yada. That finally takes hold and it changes all of society, and all of society 100 years from now says, yes, abortion is wrong. Those people who supported abortion during the 21st century, we need to take down any statue, any mention of them, because they supported abortion. Well, that would be the equivalent. That would be the equivalent of slavery. We agree today universally, it's evil, it's wrong. Our country is still seeing and having to deal with the ramifications from it. But that does not mean that you shut down and you sit here like this guy does and says, "Well, we're celebrating, racist bigots in our country." Jefferson and Washington, two of the greatest presidents that our country has seen. But then look what he does. He throws in this guy. He throws Abraham Lincoln under the bus. Abraham Lincoln never owned a slave. Abraham Lincoln also has, what his nickname is? The Great Emancipator. The guy that led us through the Civil War, saw it through to see that slavery was finally ended in our country. People say, oh, that was part of the preservation of the Union. Shut your pie hole. Learn some history. It was indeed over the preservation of the Union, but the preservation of the Union as a country that was going to be free. Republican Party grew out of the Free Soil Party, which was very anti-slavery, and in response to the Bleeding Kansas, well, that's what it was. Well, here's what they – here's – no, it's okay. No, this is okay. This comment here by Aisha, Manasseh Musa, the richest man who ever lived prior to Jeff Bezos, he was the king of Mali, the kingdom of Mali in the 15th century. And he was the richest man to ever live, and he made his money off of the slave trade. And when we start talking about the slave trade, then you start talking about, I have a slide for that. We're going to get into that, but thank you for bringing that up. You're absolutely right. All right, and then, of course, he complains about... oh, really? Yeah, find that for me. Yeah, I'm going to write that down. Epic rap battle, and Manasseh Musa. If you think that's got to be like the coolest name on the planet, because if you're, if you got like one of them deep baritone boys, hey, sir, what is your name? Manasseh Musa. That would scare the living snot out of anybody. Manasseh. Did he correct that book? Did you see that? Have you seen? Because he says he did. But you watched his live stream where he was saying, "Well, I made a mistake, but I meant to correct it because I put the shut your pie hole, you lying piece of dirt. Your hatred causes you not to do true research. Is what he hates this country so bad. He can't see straight. Is what his problem." Yeah. Well, he said, his mom owned slaves. His mother said, okay, well, did it mean did he own them? No. And Paul rightly pointed out that he lived in New York State, which is a free state, by the way. What an idiot. Okay. Well, he's gold mining also. But here's the way you're right. The country of Mali, the kingdom of Mali, was very rich in natural resources at the time that were very marketable and tradable, gold being one of them, salt, other minerals. But it was the slave trade. It was the slave trade that when he went on Hajj, it's a long story, but when he went on Hajj, he was giving away hundreds, thousands of slaves. He took thousands of slaves with him on Hajj and was giving them away, giving away camels laden down with gold to people to show how rich he was. But he was engaged heavily in the slave trade. Slave trade, oh, by the way, where you're not able to enslave other Muslims. So when we start talking about who were those slaves coming across on those slave ships in the transatlantic slave trade, they were non-Muslims. So when we hear this thing that, we can argue about it, but the fact, prohibition, there's a prohibition for Muslims to sell other Muslims to the kuffar. And so if they were doing it, then they were doing it under the table. They were inventing some type of excuse to do it. It's like how they invent these excuses to go have sex with little girls today or set up prostitution brothels. But who was running the ships across the transatlantic? The Atlantic slave trade was European, so it wasn't the Muslims running it. I'm going to do some research on this for you, Rad, but I was reading an article yesterday from the American Thinker, and this is from Raymond Abraham, and he cites an interview done with a guy by the name of Azuma, an African academic, and he wrote The Legacy of Arab Islam in Africa. And in here it says, slavery was a very important part of Islamic expansion in West Africa, and a fact in Sudan, and from the earliest period of Islamic penetration of Africa, slavery was very endemic part of Islamic interactions with Africa. And in West Africa, the jihad's period of the 18th and 19th centuries involved massive slave raiding and slave training, and many of the slaves that were captured and sold and sent to the transatlantic slave trade were captured by Muslims, most of whom were doing slaving at the time were Muslim communities. So when we start talking about when you get to Zanzibar and up, but you go up there, they're trading to the Arabs, though. They're not necessarily, well, they were trading some to broaden around the. Yes, go ahead, Connie. Yes. Well, they cannot be apologetic of it, and the reason why they cannot be apologetic of it is because Muhammad did it. And to do that would say that Muhammad was wrong, and to say Muhammad was wrong will get your head cut off because it's considered apostasy. Okay, we're gonna touch the slavery issue one more time, Rad, and then we're moving on. All right. We got to get to Santa Claus. On. We got to go, dude. Well, give me a second. You just threw it up on your counter there. Okay, go ahead. It's 1970-something. Oh, okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sitting there looking at something else. Go ahead. Let's get on with it. Wow. Yeah. Did you want me to put that back up? I'm sorry. Some parts of it is, yeah.
You're exactly right, Calvin.
I think when you mentioned the thing about the Lincoln Memorial, I think it's his second inaugural address. He mentions that, and that's. Are you talking about on the one roll? Yeah, because the one roll is the Gettysburg address, and the other one's the second inaugural address. Okay, go ahead. This abolitionist movement, let's just make sure we understand this. We're going to get back to Kenny's book here in just a second, guys. But the abolitionist movement was a spinoff of the Second Great Awakening. And the Second Great Awakening is that religious movement, that Protestant religious movement that realized that we need to do better when we treat our fellow man. Who is thy neighbor? It's your fellow man. And this caused all these reform movements in our country at this time. The abolitionist movement was one of them. The treatment of mentally ill. You had the prohibitionist movement. It doesn't matter. But there was all kinds of great things that came out of it. Education movement. But all of these movements came out. They were Christian movements. And the Civil War, based on the abolitionist movement, was very steeped in Christianity. And I get it. You know, people want to say, oh, well, they had the slave Bibles and the slave owners used passages to obey your masters. Of course they did. But yeah, nobody denies that. But think about this. If this nation had been founded upon the principles of Mohammedanism, of Islam, would we have ever gotten rid of slavery? Would that have ever happened? Absolutely not. All right, we got 40 minutes, dude. I'm showing it now. We got to get moving. I'm sorry, Rad, but okay. So, and the reason why we spend so much time on this is where this hatred and this vitriol comes from. He's always blaming the United States for every ill. I wonder if he would have had as many complaints with maybe the Chinese participated in the transatlantic slave trade. Would he be as anti-Chinese then? You know, it's just stupid. Okay, let me go. I got to get this done. Sorry, Rad. Okay. So here's Mount Rushmore, and this is what Mount Rushmore is going to be looking like maybe in 30 years. I don't know. We'll find out. This is his book reviews. I don't care about his book reviews. His book reviews are just stupid. And Sanford Pass. Yeah, that's a real good. There's mine, and then there's Rad's. Oh, if you guys want to go in and promote the book reviews, you can go over there to the Amazon and click the helpful part of that, and that way you can boost those. People will look at them closer. Okay, so let's look at. Here he is complaining about Trump again. And he's calling, Trump supporters. So see, it's the Trump supporters who see no problem glamorizing people who were once slave owners. This is the point he's trying to make. And those who do not believe racists should be looked upon as heroes. Again, we spent way too much time on that. calling him out on this. So-called heroes of the United States are anything but heroes. And then he goes on to say that the Confederate monument on Stones Mountain down in, it was Stones Mountains in Tennessee or in Georgia, one of the two, the same guy that designed that designed the Mount Rushmore thing. And of course, he's got to throw in the Ku Klux Klan. They're all tied to the Klan type shtick. This is how shallow his scholarship is. Then he starts talking about the Palestinian genocide. He wants to bemoan this. He talks about Israel slaughtering the Palestinians, and everybody's amused by this in the world, and the United States sitting there as Muslims have war crimes enacted against them. The genocide, look at this, the genocide of the Palestinian people has been taking place for years. And ironically, it's because of the religious ties the United States has with Israel. We're giving them ability to do that. And look at here. He even tries to throw this dig in here to divide and conquer Jewish people who reject Jesus, while the Palestinian Muslims believe in him. This is crazy. So look, you see here, you had slaughtering Palestinians bad, slaughtering Jews, which Hamas, that terrorist group that you support, is good. What a hypocrite, what a pathetic hypocrite you are. Then you're trying to divide Jews and Christians. Oh, they're the Jews, but they deny Jesus. We Muslims accept Jesus, even though it's a fake Jesus. We accept Jesus. And then lastly, the Palestinian people. If you look at if the Jews are committing genocide against the Palestinian people, they're not doing a very good job. They're probably the worst genocide committers in the world. Not like your prophet who committed genocide against the Banu Kunaka tribe or the Banu Qurayza, the Banu, what was the third tribe? There's three tribes. The three tribes of Jews in Medina, he wiped out. So here's a little graph for you, Kenny. If you want to ever do some research for a book so you don't make yourself look so foolish, you might want to look at the number of people in the thousands that live in the West Bank, live in the Gaza Strip, Palestinian territories. It's gone up exponentially in the last 25 years, 24 years. Get a grip, dude. All right. Now he wants to take a look at Western civilization, the United States. Now, notice what he says down here. You can, and here's this is crazy. He wrote me a note on Facebook and it's telling me that I'm thinking that, you know, oh, it's okay, Kaffir. You know, none of the, you know, we're us Muslims are coming to rape your wife. There's not a Muslim underneath your bed and we're not going to come rape your wife or anything like that. You don't have to worry about the Sharia. This is the time. Exactly. And this is what he wants to do. I mean, he wants to paint such a terrible picture of what we think they think. You can relax. Muslims are not plotting to take over your way of life. No one is trying to force you to be a Muslim, Mohammedan, or a member of ISIS. No one is going to force women to trade their revealing, outfits for hijabs or burqas, which promote modesty and chastity, of course. No one will take the pork off your table. And I tell you what, guys, I had some of the best ribs last. Oh, my God. Anyway, off your table. The alcohol out of your cabinets. The nicotine and drugs away from you. These are choices only you can make. So what does Kenny think of our country? Here we go. Here's what he thinks of our country. He thinks that all of our women who don't wear the hijab and burqas are sluts. That's basically what he meant. Revealing outfits. Every woman in the United States wears revealing outfits, you see. If you don't wear a frickin' tent, that's a revealing outfit. Really? What a moron. Pork is bad, despite all of its nutrients. And I was going to throw up some nutritional benefits, but I don't want to get people bogged down in the minutiae of it. You know, being from Iowa and the number one pork-producing state in the country, anyway. And we only want to get drunk, so we don't want Muslims to come into our country because they won't let us get drunk. And, of course, we won't get to smoke and do drugs. That's why we don't want Sharia in our country, because we want to do all the things. We want our women to look like sluts, and we want to eat pork, even though they eat camels. Doesn't make any sense. And we want to get drunk, and we want to do drugs. But he thinks that animal urine does indeed have healing capacities to it. And he's speaking of – what is he speaking of? He's thinking of – camel urine. Why? Because his blessed prophet did this. Santa sucks. Did you guys know that Santa Claus sucked? Did you guys realize this? Yeah. Yes, he does. Of course. Have you listen to what he does in his book here? I don't know if you've gotten to this yet in the book yet, but here's it. Have you ever believed in Santa Claus? Do you know somebody who presently believes in Santa Claus or has in the past? Have you ever known anybody attempted to persuade others to believe Santa exists? Have you ever seen parents excitedly take their children to visit the imposter Santa Claus at the mall and have them sit on his lap to further solidify the lie? Who is the great deceiver in this lie? It is the mall personnel who hired the costume carrier chicanery. He hates Santa. Look what he says. Each mention plays a role. So he hates, and the reason why is he hates Christmas. He hates the joy that we have of celebrating the greatest gift. I don't know if he, okay, in all fairness, I don't know if he had a Santa in his yard, but really, I'll get with you after the show. After I get home from the meeting, so I'll give you a call. Do you hate Santa too, Issa? Issa, do you hate Santa? Issa, do you hate Santa? Okay, just making sure. Okay. I don't know. Smoking and drugs. Of course, we want to stop smoking. We want to smoke and do drugs. I mean, that's why we don't want the charade together, because we want to drink, we want to smoke, and we want to do drugs. And we want our women to look like sluts. There you go. I'm sorry for interrupting. Issa, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. We're not a monolithic religion. We're not a monolithic country. And, all these things, there's a degree that all these things vary. Are there Christians that use drugs? Yes. Are there Christians that drink alcohol? Yes. Are there Christians that smoke? Are there Christians who wear revealing outfits and dress like sluts? Well, we appreciate that too, Rad. That would be like trauma. anyway, so the bottom line is this is how he characterizes our country, what he thinks of our country. And when we start looking at Christmas and looking at Santa Claus, he's vilifying Santa Claus, and the reason why is because of this hatred that he has for Christmas. And Christmas, I mean, when he sees us Christians celebrating Christmas, let's just make sure we understand this. When he sees us celebrating Christmas and doing it through our hearts, not because of, getting gifts, not because of all the buying and selling that goes on. When we recognize that the greatest gift that was ever given was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, a gift to save us from hell. If you are a Muslim, you deny that gift. You deny what Jesus did on that cross for us. This is why we celebrate Christmas, is because God's gift to us, and we give gifts in return. And I get it. You can go back to St. Nicholas, back when, the Ottoman Empire or the Eastern Church gave the bones to the... But the bottom line is that we celebrate Christmas today remembering what God did for us. And that was giving us the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is why he hates it. because of the absolute denial, up in your face denial. Yeah, go ahead, Rand. Right, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this is, well, you're right. Yes, that's a narcissistic point of view, too. Yeah. You ain't getting anything tonight, brother. You ain't getting anything. I got this. Okay. I'm gonna try to get through. We're good. Okay. So is Santa and everybody participates in Christmas. Well, you're a deceiver, don't you see? I mean, he puts it. Who would put this in a book? Well, he gets to and he discusses why he brings this up. And this is, oh, wait, thank you for that, Tommy, because this makes him the Grinch, doesn't it? Wouldn't that make him the Grinch? Anyway, all right, no Santa, no FBI, can't have Santa, because we see these imposters posing as Santa Claus in malls, in cartoons, on postcards, etc., but seeing those images does not mean Santa Claus is real, oh, you think? On the contrary, this guy's the reasoning here is just so shallow. The only thing real about Santa is the lie propagated about him for generations. Now, look what he transitions this into, okay? Because he's saying spreading false information by hate mongers looking to instill fear into society. So he transitions this example. Now, if I was giving the imam Jamam al-Islam any advice, I would say, look, I would use a different analogy, use a different example if this is the point you're trying to make, because you make yourself look so pathetically shallow and hateful doing this. But look what he says here. In 1991, the FBI supposedly came across a document. Now, supposedly, and I don't know how he puts this language in there, supposedly. You talk about propaganda. This is exactly what propaganda looks like. He sits here and complains about propaganda, all the while using propaganda to try to make his point. It's just priceless. The hypocrisy is priceless. But supposedly, the FBI came across a document by the Muslim Brotherhood titled the Explanatory Memorandum. Now, this explanatory memorandum, I have asked Paul, because Paul's kind of an expert in this, to explain to us what the exploratory memorandum was and what Andrew McCarthy found out about this. Okay, let's just make sure we understand this. Just by accident, doing standard police work, they discover that this woman and this man live in this house. They do a search warrant, and they go down in the basement. In the basement, they just didn't put these things in the basement themselves or in a closet. They had dug a separate sub-basement to further conceal these documents. Okay, go ahead. And does the organization CARE support the Muslim Brotherhood? Right. Okay. So the bottom line is when we start thinking about this exploratory memorandum was indeed what the opposite of what Kenny is trying to keep us from seeing. He's trying to say, no, we're trying to make the Muslims out to be some type of boogeyman. When the fact is that they're in their own words what the Muslim Brotherhood was trying to do in this country. Go ahead, Brad. I'm sorry for interrupting you. It's right after the Gulf War. Oh, go ahead. What else, is there anything else that you wanted to say about that at all? Yeah, and it's just isn't this administration, the Obama administration. It was the Bush administration also. Trump did a little bit more than what the other ones did, but yeah, you're right. I mean, they won't fully come out and recognize, because look what he writes down here in the next paragraph, where he starts, Islamic suppressors mean this grave harm. Okay, the purpose of that statement was to draw attention to a physical threat by the Muslim Brotherhood and imply that a silent passive jihad is taking place too. Isn't that what we see was happening today, though? Well, you discussed that one night on the show, didn't you? Wasn't there like three levels or four levels or something? Yeah. Okay. Did the UAE declare CARES? Sorry. What could possibly go wrong with that? And that makes the most sense. All right, let's get trudging through this. We only got a couple minutes left before I honestly, folks, do have to be out of here. Okay, hate thy neighbor. If you honestly consider the following definition, you will see that labeling peoples as Islamophobes is more befitting for certain groups of people caught up in the snares of this irrational obsession. The process of inciting this obsession has been covert and camouflaged behind a veil of national pride. In other words, nationalism, look at here, nationalism is considered Islamophobic. So any criticism of the Quran or Muhammad is considered Islamophobic. And it's okay to criticize or classify criticism as bigotry. Look at this. If you criticize Islam, you are a bigot. I mean, he called me as a bigot in that email for having the temerity to correct his mistake. So criticism is nationalism, and the reason why is he absolutely hates our country. And when we start talking about the consistency of a man, defines his character. Exactly. You show that you hate our country, that tells us exactly who you are. Imam Jabam al-Islam. Okay, this one I really don't have enough time to do. But if you look at it, we see example of these hate campaigns when we reflect on history. Consider the atrocities enacted against various groups and races of people. Native Americans, Jews during the Holocaust. Not Jews during Muhammad time, but only Jews during the Holocaust, you notice. Japanese Americans, enslavement of Africans, ongoing racism. Most recently, the attacks against those who appear to be Arab and Muslim. Okay, let's take a look here. Notice he mentions Native Americans. Now, I went through this on Sunday as far as what was happening in Native America when the colonization process began. I'm not going to sit here and belabor the point again. You notice he says Jews, but only Jews during the Holocaust. I wonder if he has any complaints about his brothers over there in Hamas firing rockets into Jewish cities and towns today. As a matter of fact, he supports that. Yeah. So that what a hypocrite. And then he says African slavery, and we beat this to death, but I just want to point out a couple of statistics here. When we talk about the number of African slaves coming across the Atlantic to the colonies, 2 out of every 3 were male. And the reason why is that they were literally worked to death. They were sent here to do manual labor. Women were sent, yes, to propagate slavery and to continue to have slaves, but the males were literally worked to death. But when you think about the Trans-Sahara slave trade, the one going eastward, 2 out of every 3 were women to serve as sex slaves in harems. The men, Brad touched on that, they were castrated to the point where they had everything removed. And this caused all kinds, in other words, 90% of them died along the way. And we talk about the numbers of the slaves, 29 million went east versus 14 million came across the Atlantic. I'm not trying to minimize that, but I'm just trying to show you some proportionality here. 95% of them died en route going east, 10% died coming across on the Middle Passage on these slave ships. So yeah, and then you have 1,400 years of slavery and slavery that still exists even today versus the 250 years that they America. That might not be an incentive, so don't say that. Okay. all right. And then lastly here, hate crimes against Muslims. Okay, let's take a look at this real quick. Because he's always talking about hate crimes, Muslims. This is skyrocketing. It's going through the roof. Muslims can't go anywhere. It's just gotten to the point where the sky is falling. It's almost unsafe for Muslims to go outside. Here are the statistics. You look at the anti-Jewish hate crimes this year or last year, 2020. 787. Muslim, 104. The population, the Islamic population and the Jewish population in this country is about the same. I'm willing to be wrong on that, but my understanding. They include them. Yes, I agree. Yeah, 100%. And look, they were higher in 2019, higher in 2018, higher in 2017, higher in 2016. So it looks like the trend is going down, not up. Gee whiz. I'm going to have to close this up for the night. He just doesn't. Okay, let me just say one thing here. He needs to do more research. If you're going to write a book, and if you ever want to be taken seriously, do more research and be careful on your facts. You need to remove this bias, this hatred that you have for our country and for Christianity before doing something like this, because I'd hate, like Hades, to see what it be in the third edition. Go ahead, Ren. I don't think they read the book, to be honest with you. They couldn't have. Nobody's that stupid. Okay, we gotta run, Rad. I said I had a hard stop tonight, and we gotta go. Okay, guys, we can pick this up Sunday. Sunday we're gonna have Yaya back on, so remember to come to that 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we'll be in contact with you later tonight, Rad. All right. God bless everybody. Thank you for coming. We will see you next time on the Cross and the Crescent Discussion Group. Thank you for coming tonight. I see Annie was here. Thank you for coming. We're calling it a night. We got to go. God bless.